Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I assure you, that is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need, even before you ask Him. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be honored. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven. Give us our food for today, and forgive us our sins, just as we've forgiven those who've sinned against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. When you pray, twice it comes over in that passage. Jesus doesn't say, I wish you'd pray more. I wish you'd get your prayer life sorted out. Everyone prays, don't they? Watching Match of the Day last night, there was one or two who I think were praying, were conscious that there's a kind of void often in people's lives that expressed, and it may be no more than a wish or a hope, but it's called prayer. None of us ever pray enough, and most of us feel our prayer life leaves something to be desired. And I actually bought you all a free gift, and I've left it at home. My mistake. In this month's Premier magazine, there's an article about people who pray. And I was so impressed by it, I bought about 20-odd of them, and I got them ready to give away. So whatever, someone hopefully will have them at maybe another service. And I'm disappointed because they sit there. You know, you have this place in your home, you just put them there so that you know they're always there. And you'll bring them, right? And of course you leave them there. But anyway, in the last copy of Premier Magazine, a number of speakers and writers talk about their prayer life, how they struggle, or how they know they haven't got it all together. And Jesus says, when you pray, He doesn't come with the rebuke of the intention. He comes instead with the rebuke for those who are just babbling it on. And yet for the people to whom Jesus spoke, they would be used to prayer. In fact, if some of the disciples went into the temple, they would use the benedictions. There's 18 of them, set prayers or lines that would be used in their temple worship. And Jesus himself set the example, didn't he? By sometimes it says he rose early in the morning. Or other occasions he spent the whole night in prayer. Or he brought words from the Old Testament into his prayer life when he was tempted. Or when he was on the cross, he prayed a particular part of a particular psalm. But he gives us this prayer as a model prayer. And it's something very beautiful. You know that I served for a number of years as a hospital chaplain. And again I was called to a bedside of someone who was facing their so-called end. And again I would say to them, shall we say the Lord's Prayer? And the beauty, the specialness, and the sentiment seemed to bring out faith. It contains so much that is so descriptive, but also so embracing. And I'm just going to work through them. And you've already got the headlines in the actual way I've put together, the order of service. It begins with praise, our Father. They're words of intimacy. They're words that show a relationship that's embracing. And it uses the word our. But Jesus just said, when you pray, go into the room and in effect lock the door. That's not going into your little room in the house, because the only place that would be locked or somehow the barred would be their storeroom for food and for the animals' food. And Jesus said, look, find that moment for intimacy. But it's not just you and God. It's our Father. There'll be a point in this service I'll ask you just to pause and think, what does that word Father mean? Sandra and I have been sorting out lots of stuff that we sort of have kept over the years, and we thought it's time to sort some out. I came across the key of the door. Do you remember that? When you were 20, right? A card with the key of the door. My parents had written something so beautiful in, and it almost made me rethink the relationship that I had. There'll be a moment to pause. Not everyone's relationship with their father being good, but we can pause and we can take comfort that he is the perfect Father, but he's also our. I wonder what if you were in a church in Crowborough today, what would we pray? And I don't know the challenge of a new group of people coming to live in that town. There's 6 churches in and around Crowborough. What's their prayer? Today, you have the service of unity this afternoon. I have no doubt that you'll pray there, our Father. And he who has God as Father knows our brothers and sisters in the faith. But then he moves on to the kind of his position. Who art in heaven, hallowed. That's a position. It's about otherness. It's about holiness. And as we try and unpack what that means, the otherness of God, the transcendence, his holiness, various people have tried and be using the Nicene Creed. 1700 years old. And boy, did they have no end of problems trying to word it, to put it together. And people have continued to argue and to discuss and wonder how we can express it. But sometimes we need to have that sense that we can't get it right. There must be awe. I listened to the prayers recently that Putin had used in the Orthodox Church at Christmas and what a certain Mr. Trump had used at Christmas. Okay? And they were quite frightening because they were very territorial and very much God was on their side. And we've made God, in some people's mind, a kind of slave to us instead of us relating to his holiness. For prayer is not about changing God, but God changing us. Then he goes on as a petition, the kingdom of God, thy kingdom come. That's we're praying for a world in which Christ is seen in his lordship and lived out through the kingship of his reign. It's a very intentional prayer, this, because I think we need sometimes to pause and say, instead of just praying for that person's difficulty with their cancer, or praying for world peace, or we're thinking about the Baptist churches in the Ukraine, what are we praying? What does the kingdom of God look like into our world today? What's it look like for us? And maybe we need again to pause, to think, to concentrate. If I was a barber and you came in for a wet shave, I'm talking to the men, okay? Sorry. And you came in for a wet shave, okay? Got it sharpened, the old cutthroat, bit of lather, right? You wouldn't expect me to say, right, lay back. Oh, I just want to talk to my mate over there while I'm doing this. And, oh, have you seen the football score? And Brighton's playing this afternoon or whatever. And so you're going on. You can actually say the Lord's Prayer, I've worked this one out, in the same amount of time as I can have a shave, okay? I think sometimes we need to pause, to stop, to think. provision. Daily bread, not daily cake, daily bread. There's so much in those needs, aren't there? For the bread to come, it needs the ground to be prepared. It needs businessmen to buy the corn. It needs the baker. It needs the person who can knead it. Work, skill, all that. Perhaps we're embracing a prayer on that. And let's be honest, if we are praying for our daily bread, we need to think of others who've not got it. In the way that, because I go to an Anglican church now, I thought I'd better take the church times occasionally. Big picture on the front. It was about a plow. Now, I used to be a farmer, so when I see a plow, I get excited, okay? Right? I'm quite, whatever. And there was this plow, it was Plow Sunday, whatever that's supposed to mean. And there was someone, she happened to be the priest, who was really dressed up, like, as you know, I like a bit dressing up as well. So it's this wonderful picture of this priest, extremely loud in her ecclesiastical garb, praying over a plow. I'm not quite sure what it's about, but it was a lovely picture. And at the side of it, it spoke about Sudan, where 40 million people have not got enough food. I don't know how we're putting together, but I think sometimes we need to have a prayer that, yes, is praying for our bread, but acknowledging that we, because we live in the first world, are actually too often going for the cake instead of recognizing bread for the world. Anyway, then we go on to pardon, forgive us our sins. I went to a monastery. I've been a couple of times to different retreats. And one I go to at Crawley Down, fascinating, right? Only a small number. 4 o'clock in the morning, you get up for your first set of prayers. And by the end of the evening, you're quite worn out by it all. But one particular service they have regularly is praying the Jesus Prayer. The Jesus Prayer is, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I stood there and I counted. They've prayed it, recited it 50 times. Now, this was a silent order. The highlight of one particular day was when someone knocked over the salt cellar and everyone listened to its noise as it went down, ran down over the floorboards. But they had one day that was allowed to talk. So I said to one of the brothers there, what's it mean? Isn't there kind of repetition in that? Oh no, he said, to me it's beautiful. Because I dwell on different parts of that prayer all the time. There is vain repetition and there's repetition. And we'll use that prayer. It's a 4th century prayer. Augustus said, prayer is that he himself may be constructed, not that God may be instructed. And then there's protection. Devil, the world, our desires. My late principal at Spurgeon's College, Ray Brown, was a postman. He used to tell the occasions when he used to go up to a door and he'd hear the dog barking, he'd go up the drive and he'd see the snarl of the dog. But if it was chained or if it was behind doors, it was okay. But he couldn't stop the noise. And maybe we can't, but we can ask for protection. For as Jesus said once to the disciples, Peter, Satan's desire to sift you as wheat, but I pray for you. So he prays for us. As we pray now, let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught us in the traditional language. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
We can never hear the word of God enough. So I'm going to read again from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 14. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go to your room, close the door, and praise to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you speak. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you.
But the ending, "For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever," is not there in Scripture. There's some controversy over it, over which particular manuscript, but the earliest manuscripts of those Gospels do not contain it. It is to be found in a first century writing for church discipleship called the Didache. And there in that particular, if you like, letter or statement that went around, the Didache, you're encouraged to pray the what we call the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day. It's got words to say as well about some of the words we use for communion and other aspects. But it then gives that particular ending, because it would seem to be that the church needed to let that prayer live and, if you like, adapt it. It's possible the ending is based on 1 Chronicles, some verses there. But it's brought out into then our liturgy, and we've assumed that it comes straight from Scripture. But actually, it's just something, if you like, the church has added. Those of a Roman Catholic background will actually use the expression, the Our Father. And the number of times I'd be in the hospital, I'd be working with a lovely Christian colleague of mine, a Catholic, and he would say to me, "Oh, I've just done that, I've shared the Our Father with someone." And actually, it's quite a lovely expression. We call it the Lord's Prayer. But in a Catholic tradition, you would not have that ending so often. But what I think it does show is that the prayer is alive and lives and needs to be adapted and brought into our life today. And so, yes, there are modern versions of it. Not so easy maybe in our memories to fall back onto some of the modern version. But it shows it needs to ever be applied and lived, as does prayer.
I wonder if, like me, you have been hearing how to pray from sermons and retreats and all sorts of things like that for many, many years. But I wonder how many times you come back the next time and you feel just as inadequate about how to pray. And I think sometimes, for the longer you pray, you ask the question, are my prayers making any difference? Sometimes we are afraid to pray. I want to suggest to you today that before you pray, be prepared to accept the challenge, because you can't pray if you're not prepared to work either. I'm going to read to you a prayer from Eddie Askew. "Lord, sometimes I'm afraid to pray. It scares me, this whole business of talking to you, listening to you. Who am I? And what does it mean? It's a heavy thing, Lord, to be in contact with you. It would be all right if I could just use a pass key, open the letterbox, drop in my requests like a mail order catalogue and wait for the parcel to come. But when I pray, I hear you talking back to me. I hear you saying, you've used the words, now what are you going to do about it? Confronting, searching. I think of Jesus in the garden. I catch a glimpse of what prayer meant to him. Sweat like blood. Agonizing. Painful. Prayer from the depths of his very being, whether for others or himself. Prayer beyond the easy words. Commitment to the cross and beyond. Lord, teach me to pray in his name, in his spirit. Not only believing prayer, nor simply believing you'll do something about it, but identifying prayer, putting myself into it, to bring about what I'm praying for. Lord, help me when I pray for peace. Help me not to create dissension. When I pray for my neighbour, stir me up to help him. When I pray your kingdom come, inspire me to share in its building. Help me put my will where my mouth is, and not to shift onto your shoulders the things I can sometimes do something about myself. A challenge to even the most seasoned prayer.
Pray as you can. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. May the rain fall gently on your fields. Until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. Amen.